Hi, I'm Diane Perlman, and at the NPT 2010, representing Psychologists for Social Responsibility, and also bringing in another group that I'm involved with, Mediators Beyond Borders.
So this, how many review conferences have you been to here?
Well, I've been to, at 2000 was my first time, and it was just all new to me. Then I was here 2005, and this is my third, and whenever it's in New York, I go to the PrepComs.
Are you finding that things are different here this time than, say, in 2005?
Well, first of all, starting last year, everyone was completely elated that Obama was president, especially the non-Americans, more than the Americans even, and after 8 years of Bush and feeling rather oppressed. So this, and that was right, last year, 2009, was right after the Prague speech. Now that it's a year later, and there's some, it's more cautious, mixed, like feeling somewhat hopeful or needing to support him, but there's some disappointment in the some of the aspects of the nuclear posture review and some of the policies to develop and modernize more weapon systems, that they look good on the surface. There's also a big difference between the NGOs, the representatives of civil society, and the official delegates. It's like two completely different parallel universes.
So you made a presentation last week?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Oh, excuse me. Tell me the title of it.
It's called Cheaper, Deeper Security, on the subtitle something like Second Order Change and Conflict Transformation. And what I mean by that is first order change is getting rid of the symptoms. So one thing that I've noticed in the NPT among the delegates and the NGOs, that all the talk is, look, we have to get rid of nuclear weapons, and we're getting rid of the weapons, the weapons, the weapons. The weapons are a symbol of fear, a symbol of insecurity. It's a delusional symbol of security. But you have to work on the underlying relationships and resolving and transforming the conflicts and doing tension reduction. So as long as the focus is on the weapons, you're going to get a lot of resistance because people have a desire for the weapons and feel that they need the weapons and feel that the weapons offer them security, which they don't. It's, a lot of it is illusion. And there's a whole body of knowledge in the field called conflict resolution, conflict transformation, mediation, to work on finding common interests, reducing tension, dealing with legitimate goals, just grievances. That there's much that we can do. One metaphor that I like is that the weapons are like a scab. And if you keep picking at your scab and you pick it off, it'll keep growing back. But once the wound heals, it falls off by itself. So as long as we're picking at the weapons, we're going to have, you know, like I said, have resistance. But once we heal the wound of the relationship, like, we're not afraid of France's nukes. And Iran, we keep saying we must not let them get nuclear weapons. This is a mindset, like a mantra. It's a frame. It's a way of framing it. And there's some people, your audience may be familiar with the whole concept of framing. But the way you frame the discussion and define things dictates your strategy. So if you say, you know, we're good and they're bad and we must not let them get nuclear weapons, and if they don't do what we want, we're going to punish them with sanctions, then you increase tension, provoke defiance, humiliation, asymmetrical power dynamics, and it's likely to break down. But that's the only game that we have. We're gripped by that mindset. Whereas if you say that there's another strategy, that we have some common interest, there's an idea of a grand bargain at looking at all the issues with Iran and the U.S., or Israel in the middle. We're talking about a Middle East nuclear weapon-free zone. So as long as Israel feels secure, insecure and afraid, they're going to feel that the weapon, their nuclear weapons give them some sense of security. But they feel like, and the way that they, people are more dangerous when they're afraid and insecure. So when you act out of fear, then you justify the fears of the other side. And then they act out of fear and they justify your fears of them. So it ratchets up the tension and volatility in the system and potential for violence, which I call that self-fulfilling paranoia, that, you know, acting out of fear, you make the other more afraid and then you make them more dangerous, but then you get to justify it and say, well, I have to. There's an idea of the mirror image of the enemy, where each side sees their motives as noble, just, and true, and they see the other side as hostile, evil, and aggressive. And they say, our behavior, we're acting this way because we have to, because they're making us. So our behavior is situational. We're acting this way because of them, but their behavior is because of who they are. It's like genetic, like in their character.
Right.
And that if you understand this, it's kind of like, I used to be a therapist, it's kind of like political therapy, that you try to understand the basic needs of each side, the legitimate goals, and you can creatively design strategies that can meet their goals. And one difference between conflict transformation, say, and conflict resolution is with conflict transformation, you can create a new reality.
And that's what we need here now.
That's what we need here now. So,
excellent.
Anything else?
Thank you. Here.